So our theme today, as we look at another phrase in the Lord's Prayer, is how God provides our daily bread. And as we approach this topic, just like the song has us doing, I think it's really good to be honest and admit how we and others experience not having enough, not doing enough, perhaps not even being enough at various times. Because even if we can affirm God as a gracious giver who provides, it can sometimes feel like in our experience, especially in this season, that God is a taker. And part of honest conversation with God is to lament that openly. So I'm going to lead us in a prayer of lament, and I'll give just some short pauses so that you can pray silently or out loud right where you are. So let's pray together. Father, we lament before you this morning our various experiences of not enough. We lament this ongoing pandemic and the experience of not enough physical proximity with each other and our neighbors. We lament unemployment and the reality of not enough jobs. We lament economic uncertainty and the hardship of not enough money to cover the basics, whether for ourselves or our neighbors. We lament the feeling, sometimes the constant feeling, of not enough time to juggle all the responsibilities, all the decisions. We lament often not having enough energy to love ourselves or our families or our neighbors the way that we long to love. God, we lament not enough justice for the powerless who experience harm from those in power. We lament not enough opportunities for our kids to play and go to school and be with friends. We lament not enough knowledge to sort out all the data to make the best decisions, to feel at peace. And we lament not enough spiritual fortitude to keep our hearts alive with hope. Father, before you this morning, we're anxious and we're needy and we're desperate and we need your daily bread. So in your mercy, Christ, hear our prayer. Amen. In response to our underlying anxiety, to this common experience that we have of not enough, Jesus gives us a simple yet profoundly transformative way to talk with God. We've come to call it the Lord's Prayer. We've been looking at it for a couple weeks now. This is our third week. And so once again, I invite you to say this prayer out loud with me. This will be from the NIV translation. We'll put it up here on the screen, and let's say this together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we are forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, as we've seen so far in teaching us how to pray, Jesus tells us to begin by fixing our attention, focusing our eyes on our Father in heaven, whose name is holy, whose kingdom has come near and is accessible in Jesus and by the Spirit, who is with us and listening to us and interceding for us, even now as we make these petitions. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us. Deliver us. We're in the third week of looking at this and exploring this transformative pattern for talking with God. And I hope you've been finding ways of utilizing this prayer, perhaps even memorizing this prayer, getting this prayer into your bones. And I know there's lots of ways of doing that, lots of ways of making this prayer your own. One of the ways that I like to do it is to simply pray one of the lines, pray one of the phrases, and then spend some time making that phrase more personal for me, like applying it to what's going on today in my situation, just improvising off it a little bit. Not many of you know that back in February, the train. All right, I think I can hear myself think now. So back in February, many of you know that my mom suffered a series of strokes, serious strokes. And so I flew up there to be with her back in February. I find myself in this intensive care unit in a moment when I really felt stuck in my prayers. Wasn't really sure how to interact with God. And what I found myself doing is turning to this prayer, turning to the Lord's Prayer, and just beginning to make it personal to that situation, expanding on each line. And just as an example, here's how that worked for me. And perhaps as I guide you through this way of praying, it can spark some of your imagination for how to pray as well. So I prayed something like this. Our Father in heaven, are you also here in this intensive care unit? How long are you going to hide your face? Our Father in times of joy and sorrow, our Father in times of awe and anger, hallowed be your name. Your name, maker and mender of bodies, comforter, God with us, friend, advocate, be true to that name. Bring full life back to my mom's brain. Be present in the pain. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your will be done in this hospital room, in this rehab session, through this care, in the waiting, in the progress, in the setbacks, your will. Give us our daily bread, our daily sleep, our daily laughter, our daily meds, our daily connections, our daily peace, free from the worries of tomorrow. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Forgive us for calling you names, for calling each other names, for wishing this would have happened to somebody else, for spilling over with ugly anger, and for being full of fear. Deliver us from the evil one who laughs when we get bad news, who loves my fear, who delights in my despair, who relishes death. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Yours is the healing. Yours is the mystery. Yours is the praise. Yours is my faith and my hope and my love. Yours is my everything. Amen. May it be so, now and forever, in your mercy. Hear my prayer. I was actually just with my mom last week. And thank you for all of you who've been praying for her. I was grateful to be there and just have some moments of joy and laughter and celebrating some small recoveries. There still is some pretty intense struggle for her, some neuropathy, difficulties walking. So thank you to those of you who have been and who are continuing to pray for my mom, my parents. Really appreciate it. You know, of all the phrases in the Lord's Prayer, I'm glad I got this one today, coming back off of some holiday. It's the one, this phrase, give us our daily bread, is the one that I just keep coming back to. This basic request, give us today our daily bread. And so for the rest of the message today, I just want to break that down word by word and unpack how beautiful it is and how formative this little phrase is. And I'm going to begin with the last word, bread, and talk about the two primary ways that that word has been interpreted since Jesus gave us this prayer. Two basic ways. First, we can take this as a request for daily physical provision that we need to live. So bread, in this sense, is literally bread. Bread, food and shelter, the basics of life, clothing, things that we need to get through each day. But then second, we can take this request as well for daily spiritual provision. In this sense, the bread is Jesus and the eternal life that he offers, the fullness of life that we have in union with him. And Jesus spoke this way, right? Like in John chapter 6, we have Jesus' teaching where he's saying to his disciples, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. In other words, through Jesus and by abiding in him, you can receive true spiritual nourishment and satisfaction forever. And this is part of what Jesus intended, I think, when he's teaching us to pray in this way. Give us today our daily and forever bread. So both the physical and the spiritual meanings of this request for daily bread are relevant, and they're fitting, and they're necessary. So I think it's important to keep both of these at play as we unpack the other words. So the first word, give, affirms the fundamental nature of God as giver and our fundamental human nature as receivers of God's abundant, undeserved gifts. I mean, how is it that we get to live in such a beautiful world? Because God is a giver. How is it that we have these unique bodies and consciousnesses and can make things and craft things and relate in a way that images God? Because God is a giver. How is it that it's possible for me, a sinful, weak, limited person, to have an intimate, reconciled, joyful relationship with the God of the universe who's created all things? It's because it's sheer gift from God. And I wonder, just pausing on this for a second, what is the gift of God that is most striking you today? If you would pause and say, wow, God, look at what you've given. I want to thank you specifically for giving me this, specifically for giving me that. Would you put some of those things in the chat just to encourage each other? That God is constantly giving, constantly pouring himself out for us. Name that and what kind of daily bread you are grateful for this morning, because daily bread comes in so many different forms. And all of those things give us yet another reason to be thankful. We're going to sing the song later on, 10,000 reasons, or 10 million reasons to be thankful for God's gifts this morning. I know all of you are experiencing those in different ways. So a couple things you're saying. Opportunity to be at college. Corbin, we miss you, man. That's awesome, though. Daily courage. Cool weather. This day, I know, it's beautiful. My husband, hummingbirds, patience, surviving local restaurants. Love it. Waking up with all I need. Overcoming bad habits. Adeline, oh, congratulations. to the Moors for their little one, Adeline. What a beautiful gift. I love it. Curiousness, grace, forgiveness, love, on and on. Keep it coming, guys. There are 10 million reasons to be thankful for God and his gifts this morning. That's the essence of the good news of Jesus as well, by the way. John 3:16, God so loved, he gave. God so loved, he gave. He gave himself, gave all of himself up abundantly, excessively, giving up his own life in Jesus so that you and I could live and reconcile the relationship with God forever. Good news of Jesus is that everything we need to enjoy reconciled relationship with God and fullness of life and every other direction with him forever has been freely given. And the Christian faith is based entirely on this gift mindset. It's incredible. It's unique. It's just absolutely astonishing when you stop and think about it. Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 articulates it this way, the good news and the gift nature of our salvation, when he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this isn't from yourselves. It is a gift of God." Because God is a giver. It is who he is. It is what God does. It is his fundamental nature. And God's kingdom, therefore, operates according to this gift economy. We enter the kingdom of God, this gift economy, as humble and grateful receivers. That is who we are. So salvation is a gift. Relationship with God is a gift. But so is, as we've been naming, each day and each meal. And each relationship, each moment of beauty, God's gifts are all around us. So saying, give us this day our daily bread, for me, it reminds me to enter into each day, each moment, each relationship with this gift mindset, to orient ourselves to the abundant gifts of God, physically and spiritually. And so Lord, thank you. I'm just pausing right now to talk to you. And thank you for teaching us to pray in a way that transforms our mindset of scarcity into a mindset of abundance. Spirit of God, free us from both entitlement and despair. Guide us into a fundamental posture of grateful dependence on you and joy in your excessive gifts. Give us today. In this word and in the mirror word daily, Jesus is discipling us toward a present-mindedness, toward a daily dependence on God's gifts. You know, when the first 12 disciples first heard this prayer, I think there's no doubt the story that came into their minds. Can you guess what it was? They're hearing Jesus teach them how to pray, and Jesus says, "Give us today our daily bread," and disciples, these Jewish believers, are thinking, in the wilderness, the manna. Exodus 16, we read about how God is giving this daily bread to his people in the wilderness in the form of manna. The basics of the story are this, that despite having been freed from slavery out of Egypt, guided through the Red Sea, freed from the Egyptians, set on a course for the promised land, the people of God started grumbling about being hungry, not having what they needed. And so God, out of his grace, because he is a giver, decided to rain down this wafer-like substance called manna every morning so they could literally have their daily bread. So every day except the Sabbath day, the manna would be there for them to collect and consume. And every day the instruction was, take what you need for this day. Don't hoard up more than you need for the next day, except on the day before the Sabbath. Take what you need for this day and your families. If they got greedy, if they collected too much, the manna would spoil and rot. And in doing so, I think God was forming their minds and their hearts and their imaginations toward this present-mindedness or daily dependence that God is going to keep on giving. He's going to give today and tomorrow and the next day and the next day. So orient ourselves then to his gifts. And the Spirit is doing that for us even now as we pray this phrase, give us today our daily bread. There's a writer that I love, her name's Marilyn McIntyre, and she tells of a time when she was given this super challenging writing exercise, which was to write her biography in 6 words. Give it a try sometime. Your life story in 6 words. Super challenging, actually. What 6 words would you use? I'm curious. As she thought about it, prayed about it, she chose these 6 words. Let's put those on the screen. Eat the manna, more will come. Eat the manna, more will come. She admits that this mindset took her a really long time to actually believe. But the more that she prayed it, the more that she practiced it, the more that it became her actual experience. And her mantra then for staying attuned to the daily presence and gifts of God. Eat the manna, more will come. And she goes on to write this. She says, the story about the manna isn't just about God's inventive provision, although it's that. It's also about this discipline of taking only what you need. Whoever gathered much, we read, had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. Well, that's interesting. And I think it connects to the next word here, because if we do receive more daily bread than we need, whether in the form of food or money or time or attention or energy or whatever it is, it gives us an opportunity to be generous. And that's what strikes me when I pray this next word, our. This prayer isn't just about my daily bread. This is about our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread, mine and my neighbor's, mine and the world's. So if I receive more than I need, I have a choice. I can either hoard it in fear that there won't be enough tomorrow, or I can give it away in joy and this expectation that God will keep giving, that God will provide again tomorrow. But if I'm operating in a scarcity mindset, most likely I'm going to hoard it. If I'm operating out of an abundance mindset, then I'm going to see myself within this kingdom and economy of grace and gift, and I'll be able to give generously and with joy. And this is not to say that we should never save something for a rainy day, or have something extra in our cupboards, or splurge every once in a while on an awesome celebration on things that are more than necessary. But let me give you another image, perhaps this will help, that when Jesus teaches us to pray, give us our daily bread, I think he's training our imaginations to see ourselves as pipes rather than buckets. And here's what I mean by that. If you're a bucket, God's gifts and his daily provision pour into your life and basically just stay there. I mean, maybe the bucket will overflow, but it's a big bucket. And so the blessings and the gifts just keep coming in and remain in your reservoir. But if you're a pipe, God's gifts and his daily provision, they pour into you and they refresh you, but then they go out in order to refresh others as well. And one of the best lessons for this for me growing up was our massive vegetable garden that we had in our backyard, which I laboriously weeded every single Saturday morning, no matter how many mosquitoes, no matter, rain or shine, like I was out there weeding the green beans. I remember one time it was particularly hot and buggy. I was, weeding out there for a couple hours. So I come in all frustrated and I asked my mom, why in the world do we have such a huge garden? There's no way that we can use all this produce. And I remember still to this day how she responded all cheerfully, which annoyed me, and unaffected by my grumpiness. She says, Wes, we don't just grow to get, we grow to give. We don't just grow to get, we grow to give. I don't know what my response was. It probably wasn't great, but hey, I'm still remembering it and I'm telling you guys. And it's true, right? Like when God, even now, Steph and I practice gardening and we love it. And one of our joys is that is to view our daily garden produce for us and our neighbors. So it's our daily eggplants, our daily zucchinis, you know, not just mine. And that it's one little way that we can be pipes and not just buckets. But think about it in some other ways of life. Like when we pray for God to give us our daily finances, it's to pay our bills and others. We could pray for God to give us our daily energy. It's to get through our day, right? But also to boost others with our energy. When we pray for God to give us our daily encouragement, it's to receive it and to pass it on to others. So I think a really good question for our daily time with God, perhaps you do a daily examine or some prayers, whether in the morning or at night, but just to ask yourself, am I a pipe or a bucket? Or if you're doing this at the end of the day, was this a pipe day or a bucket day? Was I a pipe today or was I a bucket today? As I'm getting up this morning, am I going to live within God's economy of grace and abundance? Or am I going to live today in the secular economy of merit and scarcity and not enough? Am I a pipe or a bucket? Now, it could be that you don't have much. It's one of the things that you're lamenting right now, perhaps particularly in the season, that by most appearances you're living with scarcity. And yet it's still possible in the midst of that kind of situation to be joyfully caught up in God's kingdom of grace and gift. In fact, just from my personal experience, some of the most joyful, gift-oriented people I have ever met are those people with the least in terms of possessions and provisions. I don't say that to elevate poverty in any way, but there is something about being literally dependent on daily bread that enables you to be more oriented to God's entire gift economy and God's daily grace. And so those of us with more than enough, which is a lot of us in this Zoom room this morning, we can develop the same attitude and posture, but it takes a lot of intentionality to say, okay, I've got bank accounts. I've got a refrigerator full. I've got a house. I've got incredible health. So how am I going to be daily attuned to my need for that daily bread from God, physically and spiritually? How am I going to be a pipe with those gifts and not a bucket? Eat the manna, right? More will come. Eat the manna, more will come. God gives us our daily bread physically and spiritually and in every other way. And most profoundly, Jesus gives us himself as our bread, as the bread of life, affirming that we literally have everything we need right now, tomorrow, and forever to follow Jesus. God has given us everything we need to follow Jesus, the biggest thing being his Holy Spirit. One of my friends, fellow pastor Sam Wells, writes about the abundance of God like this all the time. And I love the way he puts it in his book, God's Companions. He says, just as a summary, that following Jesus means learning to want the limitless things God gives us in Jesus. That to follow Jesus, to ask on a daily basis, Jesus, give us our daily bread, is to ask God to change our desires to want the things that he's already giving us, that he has given, that he is given, that he will give to us in Jesus. And so as we close today, our prayer can be that every day God will slowly and surely continue to give us everything that we need, all the grace and all the gifts that we can be blind to, that he would open our eyes to those as well. So Holy Spirit, teach us to want the limitless things that you give to us in Jesus. Teach us to want you first and foremost, but then all of your gifts, beginning with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Thank you for each day, each relationship, each holy exchange, each opportunity to love mercy and to act justly and to walk humbly with you. God, it's in your hallowed and holy name that we pray. Amen.